Good morning. Court Radio is now in session. Call 215-227-2727. When you've got legal questions, we've got the answers. This is Court Radio. And now here's your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning and welcome back. Sit back and relax. I am Dean Weitzman, your host of Court Radio every Saturday morning right here on 100.3 WRNB.
At Classics 107.9.
There you go. Legal's out of the way and we're ready to start our show.
Uh-oh. There's been an arrival.
Yeah.
Superstar arrival.
Ay, 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 ay. Now he's relaxing. He's
taking his time.
Oh, boy.
The show has started, in case you were wondering.
Yeah, you know.
You know.
Hey.
Manny Manuel Glenn, he's the man, the legend.
I heard you're cheating on me this weekend.
That's not true.
Oh.
Not true. All a big source of misinformation, bad communication. In reality, I come to find out later on in the day, in the early wee hours, that I will not be sitting in the booth commentating for Juneteenth. I will be street reporting and then on stage. It's a big mix-up, big understanding. I'm not leaving you, Dean, ever.
Okay.
All right. Well, that's true.
His side hustles.
Yeah.
And I, for one, applaud that.
Yes.
Thank you.
Dean? Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day, Dean.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you very much.
Manuel.
Sir.
Happy Father's Day.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much, guys.
Tactics.
Yes.
Happy Father's Day. Sarah.
I'm good.
You sure you don't feel left out or
something? No.
Sarah, good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you folks. Hi.
Look at this.
Absolutely.
The weather outside, folks, is absolutely
gorgeous.
Spectacular.
It is a perfect day, man.
Yeah. Really? So as soon as you're done listening to the radio show, go out and have some fun.
Yeah, get some of this good weather for me, because it's going to be hot next week, guys.
Oh, I'm sure. It's going to be hot for the rest of the summer, but this is one of those spring days that you just have to go out and enjoy.
Cool breeze.
Yeah.
Stay cool, breeze.
All right. Well, we got a show today. Folks, if you have a legal question, you have a legal problem, you've been pondering something that you just need an answer to, today's the day. Give us a call at 215-227-2727. The number for all things legal.
There is something I do need an answer to.
Yes.
And I know it just can't be me, but don't you all get a sense that right now Abe Lincoln is turning in his grave?
There's nothing left of him to turn.
My God.
He's dust.
He's turning in his dirt.
Is this?
Dust is spinning in the air.
It could be just you.
It could be just me. The party of Lincoln.
I haven't thought about Lincoln once since history class.
The only thing I think about Lincoln is Lincoln Drive.
Well, that's a shame. That's a shame considering. Did you see that?
Yes, I saw that.
That's Lincoln.
Sorry, Mr. President.
Something just fell in the studio. We think it was Lincoln.
That was odd.
Yeah.
That was odd.
All right, I'm sorry, Mr. Lincoln.
Yeah, I think you need to. But considering that tomorrow's Juneteenth, and you haven't thought about Mr. Lincoln, I'm a little concerned.
Technically,
it's Wednesday. But yeah.
Exactly.
Wednesday.
Oh, stop it.
It is on Wednesday.
Okay, I'm going to give y'all that.
So, well, yeah.
No, I was just being coy. Of course, I, you know, appreciate Lincoln.
Okay.
Things that he's done for his
He did have a tough job.
He did.
Oh,
my goodness.
Especially afterwards. Like, you know, Reconstruction.
That's what got him killed. Really.
Right. Reconstruction got him killed because the United States did not yet become united.
The North just won the war.
Right. Well, what are you going to do?
Well, it's interesting.
Put one foot in front of the other.
Yeah.
And soon you'll be walking across the floor.
Yep. I think that we're not there yet. I mean, November is still off in the distance.
It's summer. You're right.
So let's enjoy our summer.
All right. Yes. So let you say table that.
Put a pin in it.
We will circle around to that, I am sure, as we get closer. But today we have a story Ms. Sarah is going to lay it out for us.
Okay, there's levels to this, so follow along.
All right.
The lead singer of the Four Tops, and if you're wondering, no.
What is the Four Tops?
What?
No. He's testing you guys.
That was like his Lincoln joke. Come on.
Okay. All right. Good save.
Okay. All right. And just in case you're wondering, there are no original living members of the Four Tops. So this lead singer of the Four Tops has filed a federal lawsuit against a hospital in Michigan alleging racial discrimination. In April, he was transported to the hospital in an ambulance and presented to the emergency room with difficulty in breathing and chest pain. He was on oxygen and he had significant known history of cardiac disease, including the placement of stents and defibrillators, according to this lawsuit. At the hospital, he informed the nurse and the security guard that he was a member of the famous Motown group, the Four Tops, and that he had current security concerns due to stalkers and fans. The lawsuit claims that the nurse, the security guard, and an emergency room doctor, quote, racially profiled him and or profiled him based upon a perceived disability and placed an order for a psychological evaluation because they did not believe that he was a member of the Four Tops. He was then put into a restraining jacket and initially denied treatment for a medical emergency after he got to the hospital in the ambulance. According to the lawsuit, the hospital and the nurse blatantly refused to provide him with medical treatment due to his race and or perceived mental disability. And instead, he received a deliberate misdiagnosis and received a lower standard of medical care based on his race. That amounted to racial discrimination and delayed in his actual diagnosis. So I'll fast forward through this. There was another point in all this where the security guard told him to sit his black da-da-da down. He was then taken off of oxygen. And then finally, a nurse believed him after he told the nurse to go on YouTube and look up a video of the Four Tops performing on TV. Then they were like, oops, my bad. So then they give him back all the medical treatment that he needs. And then they offered him a $25 gift card to a grocery store as an apology. But he refused to accept that. And he is now seeking compensation for damages from the defendants to be determined by a jury in excess of $75,000. Now, one small part I did leave out was he then ended up having three seizures and stayed at that hospital for about 5 days because he was too sick to be moved to another hospital. It is unclear if the alleged actions by the hospital contributed to his subsequent medical issues.
So the question is, out of all of that, what permanent damages do you think he incurred?
Well, that's a very good question. That gets to the heart of the matter. I'm not a doctor, and what I tell my clients when they come in with a potential medical malpractice claim or even a motor vehicle claim, whereas in a motor vehicle claim, it may be more obvious. In a medical malpractice claim, it rarely is obvious. The doctors need to tell us what was caused by what. What was going to happen nonetheless, and what was caused by, in this case, the delay in treatment. You cannot presume as just an ordinary citizen that you understand the medicine and you understand what causes what. And so in this instance, if he would have had those seizures anyway, if he was headed down that path, if the delay in treatment is not responsible, clearly responsible for the subsequent injuries or the process of the disease, then you have one piece of the puzzle. You have the negligence in this instance. Right. They didn't give him the proper care.
Right.
But you may not have the damages.
Right.
And so clearly, he's got damages because he's upset, he's anxious, he's, you know, been profiled. Let's assume all that's true. That may make it a case. It may make it a but how much of a case? What how much would it take to compensate him for that loss is going to be a lot different than if you can show that had he been promptly treated, he would not have suffered any of the injury that he ultimately suffered.
So it sounds like It sounds like he has more of an emotional case than he may have a physical case.
That's all I hear.
And then, you know, you would have to bring in psychologists.
Think about it logically, okay? I don't think they racially profiled him from what I'm listening to. I think they probably psychiatrically profiled him.
So this guy's crazy. He thinks he's a member of the Four Tops?
No, not a member of the Four Tops. Maybe
they started off with that.
Yeah, but then he said, I need security because I'm going to be attacked.
Stalked and attacked.
Who's stalking or attacking some old guy from a group that's 50 years old? Come on. I mean,
and that's why I said he's not an original member. So, like, how well do people really know who you are?
You know, you can't run that.
Nobody knows him. He needed to pull up a YouTube in order for them to understand.
You know what they say? You can't run that fast in the wheelchair.
Yeah. I mean, it starts to sound like it's a psychiatric condition.
But that would be the best case scenario, and you would.
And even then, should they have put him in a straitjacket? Was he a harm to himself or others? I don't know. Again, they should have video. You know, you would think they have
cameras.
Cameras. Yeah.
Well, they put these restraining jacket is the straitjacket. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah. You remember from Byberry.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Yeah.
So that alone can give you some psychological damage, putting you in one of those things.
Yeah, and if it was it's deemed to be unnecessary, then...
And you can hurt yourself wearing one of those things.
I mean, and I would assume that could cause him to get very anxious.
Sure.
Increase his heart rate, and he already has a heart issue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but...
A lot of research needs to be done there to find out what damages are and the causation.
Maybe some of our listeners have experienced similar insults.
You think? What's the number, Dean?
215. I hear listeners saying it right now. 227-2727.
All right.
Put that number right in your phone, folks. If you need me, give me a call. We got a ton of new clients this week.
I like that.
By the way, I'm digging the shirt, bro. I don't know what it means, but...
Thank you. It's a brand.
Okay. It's kind of different, cool. Uh-huh. So a lot of new clients. What do you think spurred this? What happened?
I really don't know, but there was a lot of accidents in and around Philly this week, and folks gave us a call. We do have our live show coming up. I know you guys probably don't want me to say it because we're pretty much sold out.
What I would like to say, listeners... If you have requested to come to the live show and you have submitted your email address, please check your email.
Yeah, you have to do that, folks.
I spent a whole day hunting down half of that list.
You know what I don't understand? Maybe it's me. I'm 62 years old.
You don't look one day of it.
Thank you.
More like 68, but go on.
I cannot live without email. It is the form of communication. But there are people out there who never use email.
And it's never
mind-boggling. Or never look at it. If they do have it, you mean those two?
Like I don't open mail any longer. I mail comes, I just push it aside. Unless
that's
I give it.
Everything's on auto payment anyway.
Yeah, it's on auto payment. I have no reason to look at mail any longer.
You know, there's paper somewhere.
And then I go through like 9 months of mail. It becomes a whole.
Do y'all delete your email? Do you let that stuff just get more and more and load up, pile up?
Oh, because I like to keep a receipt. So yes, I might have to pull back on something you said 3 years ago. So
I keep all
my emails.
You keep all that.
It's called being petty, but
that's who she is.
Petty.
And at least she knows it.
You know, she's speeding on the highway like Richard. Petty.
215-227-2727. We got callers lined up. Sarah's going to grab your phone calls. Stay tuned.
Well, we had asked a couple of weeks ago, summer's coming, weather breaks. Does traffic increase and certainly do accidents increase because of the summer? Folks are driving more. Right? So, and by the way, folks are driving a lot. That was record-breaking Memorial Day traffic, man, and in the air. Folks are out and about, man. No one's staying put.
We outside.
Yay.
We outside.
You think that's still a consequence of the pandemic?
I think there's still folks like, it takes a minute. That was a traumatic thing, man. Yeah, we were stuck and locked inside. literally.
Yeah.
Is that going to help the Republicans this year?
I don't think so.
I mean, they're starting to bring Fauci back up again. You know, it's like, come on, people, give it a rest.
I mean, what have they fixed? What have they done? What have they created? What policy? Nothing. It's revenge. It's just an investigation. It's just a hearing. It's just name calling. It's clicks and views. What else do they do?
Well, what the pandemic did do is this inflation issue.
That is the
damage that the pandemic did going forward.
Yeah, man.
And, you know, we've had inflation. I mean, it probably was triggered by the pandemic.
No, I don't think it was probably. It's the finance guys that say that. But wait a minute. You and I, for instance.
But the thing about it is, you know, when it comes down to inflation, when prices go up, even though everything went back to normal, prices never go down.
And everybody had all this extra money, the PPE,
salary
the
sticks,
the salaries went up too. So they never lowered their prices.
That's
but
right.
You and I remember inflation. That's a whole generation that never been through this.
Yeah.
They're panicking.
I remember when mortgage rates were 16 and 17%.
See?
You know, they were like credit card rates, you know?
Yeah.
You know, it comes and goes, but I will say that the economists have gotten a better handle on how to tweak the elements of the financial world we live in order to control that. You know, so they bring interest rates up and then prices have come down in many areas.
They sure have. My gas has come down. I don't know about you guys. Have you seen any gas prices get lower?
Yeah,
they have.
Yeah. So, I mean, whatever.
But that's always volatile, gas prices.
Well, sure. Supply and demand.
But, you know, like goods, like bread and eggs, those prices have not come down.
Well, this is what I've noticed. If you live in like a tight urban community, you can shop around and find a lower price for something. But if you're stuck in some rural area where you don't have as many choices, the price won't come down because there's no competitor. Yeah, maybe you feel it a little bit differently. I don't know.
It's possible that they might not pay as high of a price because of where they are.
That's a possibility,
and,
too.
And, you know, in the city, it's expected that we make more, that we have higher paying jobs. So the pricing is going to be based on the area. So it's quite possible that we're paying more here in a bigger urban establishment than they are in the more rural areas.
Well, I'll say this though. One thing's clear: there's just no way you can tell me folks are struggling with all the amount of recreation activities I'm seeing, all the traveling, all the buying, all the going to shows. Come on, there's money somewhere. I'm sorry.
Let's talk to D on line one.
Good morning, D.
Oh, D. D.
D.
Yes, I'm here.
There you go.
Right, there you go.
Good morning.
You ran to get a coffee or something, didn't you, Dee?
Well, Dee, I think you hit it. Yeah.
Good morning, dear. Good morning. So what's going on, Dee? What's happening in your life?
So I was just calling in because a person had came to me and said, can I sue for an accident where my loved one was killed in a car crash? And I wanted to know, what do you do in that instance? If the person passes away.
Okay. So, good question. I'd want to know what the relationship was between the person that talked to you and the person who passed away. A lineal heir, such as a wife, not technically a lineal heir because they're married, but also children, siblings. They can all bring an action on behalf of the estate. There's two claims. Anytime somebody passes away from a trauma, there are two potential claims, a wrongful death claim and a survival claim. They are different. The wrongful death claim is a claim that the heirs have for the loss of society, tutelage, guidance, love that the decedent, that they've been deprived by losing the decedent. So that's the claim of the person who's still alive. And those are specific. Has to be a child, has to be a parent, or a spouse. And those wrongful death beneficiaries can bring a claim for themselves for their loss. The other claim is a survival claim, and that's a claim the decedent had for the decedent's pain and suffering before they died. And so unless death was instantaneous, there's always a survival claim for the decedent. And so there are these two claims. Anybody who could serve as an administrator for the estate can bring a survival claim on behalf of the estate. Only certain people can bring a wrongful death claim. And so the first, you know, like I said, Dee, the first question is who is it who approached you?
My father. It's his wife, my stepmother.
Yeah. So dad definitely has both a survival claim on behalf of the estate and his own wrongful death claim. And those claims must be filed within 2 years of the death.
Okay. My second question was, what in the event that, like, we don't know who was at fault yet. We're still waiting on the police report. This happened a week ago. How would you deal with that in court? I guess we would have to wait for the police report.
Well, of course, the police report will play some part in it, but there's often the police don't do a great job of that, and sometimes you have to get witnesses, and time is of the essence here. So I'm concerned a week has gone by because you want to look for video evidence in the area so that if there is any, you want to be able to preserve it before it's destroyed. You want to look at the vehicles and the roadway. You know, if there are a lot of times there's scrapes in the roadway that will help an accident reconstructionist determine how an accident happened. The condition of the vehicles also play a part in that, as well as I said, the video. So when you retain an attorney early on in the process, the attorney will jump on it and begin gathering this crucial evidence. We'll retain an accident reconstructionist who can take these pieces of evidence and create how the accident happened. And so time is, you have 2 years to file your lawsuit, but you shouldn't wait much longer than a few minutes to get yourself an attorney and to begin the process of trying to put this together. When it's not clear how it happened, you need to get the advice and cooperation of experts in this case. You also want to know what kind of insurance is available to you, because if there's very little insurance, maybe there's only sometimes the person who's caused this accident may have only a $15,000 policy. That's what it takes to be legal in Pennsylvania. And so if there's only a $15,000 policy, their insurance company might just say, hey, we're going to tender the policy. We don't really care how the accident happened. We're not getting involved in a claim that involves a death, and we only have a $15,000 policy. We're just going to pay it. So those are the things you want to look into, and you should have representation right now.
Okay, thank you.
All right. You just have.
Can I have the number to the office?
Yeah,
you can. Absolutely. It's 215, the same number you called for me. Uh-huh. The same number you called for court radio, 215-227-2727. Put it in your phone. Give it to dad and, call us if you need us.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Take care,
Dee. Have
you too.
Bye-bye.
Call him first.
Yeah, interesting about this. There was new information about the 95 South crash, 95 North crash, that, you know, the highway buckle.
Oh, the fire.
Yes, the big fire. And the NTSB did a final report on it, and it said that there was an open cover.
On the top of that truck.
On the top of the truck.
Yeah.
So it contributed to the fire and the explosion.
The combustion.
But
is this a gasoline vehicle? Gas.
It was hauling gas. Yes, it was
there was a metal cap on the top of it. Missing.
That was open. Wide open.
Wow. Wide open.
It was never closed.
It was never closed.
They had photo. You could see it clearly.
Wow.
Right. It was never closed.
Now, where did they get those photos from?
He went to fuel up or something, and I think he just never closed it or something
Well, they didn't close it where the truck originated from. It was on the way to a Wawa.
And that evidence they were able to gather, because we're dealing with, you know, a hundreds of millions of dollars in damage to the highway.
Yeah.
And so they went, you know, to everywhere that truck was, and they tried to capture film of that.
And they sure did.
And that's what I'm saying for somebody like D. Is, you know, that evidence, if you waited 3 months or something for the police to eventually, because it takes a long time. One thing people should know is that when there's a death, then the accident investigation department, AID, of the Philadelphia Police Department get involved in that case. And there's not a report in a week or two. Sometimes it could take 3 months or 6 months to get a police report on a death case. They do a very thorough job, or try to. But in that time, a lot of evidence can be lost. That if you had retained an attorney and they hired private accident reconstruction experts, they would be gathering that evidence right now.
Right.
It's really critical that you get involved. You know, you get counsel involved soon on these kind of larger cases.
How easier have all these cameras made your job?
Again, when warranted, that's the key here. Like, for instance, you don't have to gather any evidence. If this turns out to be a $15,000 policy, more likely than not, the insurance carrier is going to tender the policy. You don't want to waste the family's money spending it on accident reconstructionists when there is no need to do that. But on the other hand, when you have a death case, one of the things you have to look at is the crash worthiness of the vehicles, because there may be a claim against the manufacturer of the vehicles. Maybe the seatbelt system didn't work. Maybe the airbag system didn't work. Maybe the car was designed improperly. There are things that we look at in these cases to make sure that there is no stone left unturned, and
I didn't think about that one.
And if the vehicle has come under the care, custody, and control of many different parties while it's being moved around, their argument can be made that things have been altered on the vehicle, and that's where you get into problems. You want to be able to lock the evidence down and have it controlled, and have, you know, when you look at it, you bring the other parties in, you invite the manufacturer to come and do that inspection with you. So nobody can say that anybody pulled any funny business.
Right.
All right. Well, listen, D, I wish you the best. I send my condolences to your father for the loss of his wife.
Yes.
Please have him call us if he needs us. In the meantime, folks, we've bumped up against our half hour, and we'll be back in 2 minutes right after these sponsored announcements. It happens every day here in Philly. You're walking your dog or headed to work, and in a split second, you're on the ground in pain because of someone else's carelessness. I'm Dean Weitzman. For over 35 years, My Philly Lawyer has been fighting for people just like you. You can't work. Medical bills are piling up, and you need cash to take care of your family. Slip and fall, we've got you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. Accidents happen. It's that simple, right? I'm Dean Weitzman. Every day someone in Philly takes a fall because someone else didn't do their job right. That's where My Philly Lawyer steps in. You need physical therapy? Check. Need someone to take on the insurance company? Check. You need cash? Check and check. We've been winning for over 35 years. Slip and fall? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
I'm Dean Weitzman. If you have a history of using chemical hair straighteners and have been diagnosed with uterine or endometrial cancer, call My Philly Lawyer now at 215-227-2727. Frequent use of chemical hair relaxers can double the risk of uterine and endometrial cancer. If you've been affected, we will fight for you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
You're cruising down the boulevard, listening to your tunes, and bam, some idiot runs a light, messing up you and your car. I'm Dean Weitzman. Bad drivers causing accidents are a fact of life in Philly. Another fact, with over 35 years fighting for people like you, My Philly Lawyer knows how to get you the help you need and make insurance companies pay. Victim of a car accident? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Hello. I do. Haven't done a thing.
Wait. Go ahead now.
That's better.
Yeah.
No, my ears are bleeding as we.
Sorry about that.
Folks, we're back. I'm Dean Weitzman. This is Court Radio. Sorry for the little technical difficulty on the intro. Sarah O just gave a funny little, well, not funny.
Interesting.
No, she ran in here excited.
Did you just find this out, like, literally this moment?
No, I wanted to tell you guys earlier, but, you know, we strayed and started talking about other stuff.
Well, let's talk about what we're talking about.
Yeah, what just happened, Sarah?
On Tuesday, I received an email that President Joe Biden paid off my $55,000 worth of student loans.
The dickens you say.
They go back to 1996. And if you're wondering, yes, I have been paying on my student loans the entire time.
Yes. So you had a 28-year debt, a mortgage. You had a mortgage for 28 years, and it was still $55,000.
In around 2012, 2011, I went back and got my master's degree. So that added $30,000 to the original loan, but yeah, I still, like, I couldn't even finish undergrad. So I had just decided that this was going to be my life. And
I wonder how much the banks made on you on interest.
That was my question.
Crazy money.
Yeah. So I don't feel bad for them. I mean, you know, they got their pound of flesh,
which is the issue. You know, our education shouldn't be a for-profit business.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of problems with the education system lately, but we'll go to that, save that for November.
But we're fixing one. One just got fixed right now for her education system. Yeah. That look on your face was priceless when you told us.
Mm-hmm. Because the thing was, I never, ever considered the possibility of ever buying a house, a townhouse, a condo, anything.
Right.
Because you can't with that level of debt on your credit report. And it's like, wow, I could think about that now. I could be a grown-up at my big age, finally.
Yeah,
you might have to get in touch with Jack.
Yeah, you got
to
call Jack.
Yeah, it's time to call Jack.
Jack.
That debt-to-income ratio has just changed.
Jack's right now, Jack's
Get
like,
up, Jack's on my right.
Sarah. Good for you.
Yes, congrats.
So I asked you a question.
Yes, sir.
Can we get that answered? Or no? Or do we discuss it now?
Okay. Well, yeah. At the break, you asked me about Law Dog.
Okay, we'll call it that today. Yeah, that's fine. Law Dog.
So it just so happens that on Thursday at the office, I went on to the Pennsylvania disciplinary site to look up Law Dog.
Right.
And shockingly, his name is, by the way, it's not Law Dog, it's Jimmy Helm.
Jimmy Helm is his name.
Yeah, Jimmy Dean Helm.
Stop it.
Yes.
Is it Jimmy
sausage?
Dean Helm?
It is.
The sausage?
The sausage, yeah.
My attorney's Jimmy Dean Helm.
Okay.
Definitely processed.
Jimmy Dean Helm is a Pennsylvania licensed attorney.
Okay.
Has no office in Pennsylvania.
Whatsoever? No physical presence in
whatsoever.
Okay.
He's in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Hmm.
Scottsdale. And, you know, he will not handle, he personally is never going to be handling a case in Pennsylvania. He is merely taking those cases and flipping them. Because I know he flips them because I know people who he, you know, who went to them and then they got flipped and then they came to us. So there's a lot of advertising attorneys out there who really don't have boots on the ground, is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. And they claim they're the top.
Yeah,
amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're going to get into that on the live show.
Yeah. Please break this down on the live show.
All right. I got clients who suffered the consequences of coming under the care of people who don't have boots on the ground.
Tactic? Sound like we're going to the mattresses.
Hey, listen, I'm just bringing the facts to people's attention.
Okay.
They do with it as they please.
All right, yeah. Get the cannolis.
There is no law dog office in Pennsylvania.
Nowhere.
Nowhere.
Okay. Ooh, we're picking a fight.
Let's talk to Ace on line two. Ace, welcome to Court Radio.
Morning.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, Ace. What's happening?
I wanted to chime in, and I guess, at the same time, ask a question. It was a while ago, right before COVID. I have asthma, and I was having like an asthma attack, but I was able to get to the hospital. It wasn't too far, and it's actually the one I was born at. So I go into the emergency room. I'm out of breath. I'm hyperventilating. I'm basically telling them I need a treatment. I was born here. Y'all can look me up, or however. The doctors and the nurses insisted on giving me a flu swab. And at the time, it's like I didn't need that in my nose or my mouth. It's like I couldn't even breathe at that point. And it was like I said, you know, I need a treatment. And long story short, they basically kicked me out and said I refused treatment. I ended up driving myself downtown to another hospital the same day. And it was admitted for like 5 to 6 days because of my asthma on the machine constantly, the steroid treatment. So my question was that like a malpractice situation right there?
It very well could have been. But then we circle back to my original statement, and that is there's two parts to a case. There's one, did their behavior was their behavior negligence? Did they breach the standard of care that you should have received? But then the second part is, what damages did their breach of that standard of care cause? If you would have gone into the original hospital for 4 or 5 days and gotten the treatments that you needed to get, then the delay in treatment didn't cause any further damage. If, on the other hand, they had treated you at the first hospital promptly and you would have gotten an hour or two's treatment and left, then you could say that the 5 days in the hospital was caused by their negligence. That is a medical question, one that I can't answer, but a specialist, a respiratory specialist, would have to answer that question. Yes, if he had been caught earlier, it would not have escalated and he would have been in and out in an hour. Then the question is, okay, let's say the 5 days was caused by the delay. What's the value of 5 days in the hospital? And people will have different opinions on that, but I think everybody would agree it's not hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's something significantly less than that. And in medical malpractice cases, particularly because we need to get that medical opinion, and that medical opinion, you know, after they review all of your records before you got to the hospital, you know, leading up to it, records after, there's a whole lot of information,
pre-existing conditions
that all has to be digested, mm-hmm, before they can render their opinion. That costs money. And so maybe we're going to spend $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 to determine whether you have a case. Well, if the case is only worth $20,000 or $30,000 on a good day, if we prove it, those are cases that are going to get rejected right out of the gate. There's simply not enough damage in those cases to warrant the expense that it would require to determine whether you have a case or not. So those are some of the analysis that goes into a medical malpractice case. I hope that helps you, Ace.
Oh, yes, it did very much so. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Have a good day,
sir.
This stuff is so nuanced. You really do need a professional overlook and to take it.
Oh,
and stuff,
forget
man.
About it. On yeah. medical malpractice?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's only people who have gone through this process as attorneys, mm-hmm. okay? Because even most attorneys don't understand how they can get tripped up on the causation piece of a medical malpractice
claim. So the experience makes a difference.
They see the damages, yeah. they see the negligence, and that's all they needed, and they are jumping in. And it's that causation piece which will mess up every single time a good case, what looks to be a good case. And attorneys who don't have experience in that just simply fall for it. They see the damages. They see what appears to be significant negligence. Mm-hmm. But they never figure out whether A caused B to happen.
And some attorneys who aren't that experienced may turn down a case. There's that too,
yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then there's attorneys who will only take $1 million and above or multi-million dollar and above cases, and those who are happy to have the $400,000 or $500,000 case. Nobody's taking a med mal case like they would an auto case. You might take an auto case that's worth $10,000 or $20,000, mm-hmm. okay, and you'll represent the party and get them their $10,000 or $20,000. No attorney who knows what they're doing would ever take a $10,000 or $20,000 or $30,000 medical malpractice case. If you don't have the damages, you don't have a case, because you're going to spend that to prove your case, period. But there are people who will take a $300,000 or $400,000 med mal case, and others who will scoff at that and say, no, never happening, can't do it. They just spend too much money in their practice to be able to afford to take a case that may only have a few $100,000, because a $300,000 case nets you maybe $100,000 or $120,000 fee. They're not able to make a go of it because the costs are too high. Costs are too high. But I know who takes the $300,000 cases.
Who, Dean?
No. I do, but I know I have a network of lawyers who are happy to take the $300,000 or $400,000 cases. And they've proven to me that they can handle them competently. They've resolved those cases for the client's satisfaction. So
they've been vetted by my Philly lawyers.
Folks, if
good word, vetted.
If you have a claim, potentially a med mal claim, a death claim from an auto accident, a rear end accident where you've sustained, you know, a back injury and a neck injury, I don't care what it is, call my office first. 215-227-2727. You're going to at least get somebody that is listening to you, which oftentimes doesn't happen. You're going to get somebody who's going to pay some attention to your problem and find a solution for you if one exists, period.
Shouts to Mr. Berger.
Mm-hmm. 215-227-2727. Let's talk to Khalifa on line 3.
Good morning.
Hi, Khalifa.
Khalifa.
Hey.
Hey.
How you doing?
Good.
How you doing, man? I'm trying to see about this landlord-tenant case.
Go for
that,
it.
I'm trying to
lay it out for us,
well,
Khalifa. Lay it out.
Is he on speaker? You good?
No, I'm not on
okay.
speaker. I'm not on speaker. Well, basically, the case is like this. I moved into this apartment with my girlfriend, and there was nothing really, you know, wasn't really bad about the apartment that we first realized when we moved in. But after a while, I started staying there, started realizing stuff like flooding, like from the walls behind the walls in the living room, come onto the carpet. And I had a carpet cleaner, so I would just suck it up every time it flooded. It was rain. Every time it rained, it would flood. And I'd suck it up with a carpet cleaner. And there's mold coming everywhere. Mold was deteriorating the walls. Had to do some drywall work. So I'm a maintenance guy myself. I do some drywall work in the apartment just to keep the water out, to keep the cold air out for the winter and all things like that, right? And when I moved to the apartment, things like nothing really was replaced with brand new. Everything was used. Like the microwave was reused and messed up and had to clean it. It was workable, but wasn't, you know, fresh, brand new. And the cabinet drawers were missing and they're never replaced. So fast forward to when we moving out, and mind you, by the whole time, my family kept getting sick. My girlfriend's always having, you know, allergy problems, can never breathe. I had a bad case of pneumonia. I had to go to the hospital. I was messed up for a couple of days out of work, and all this type of stuff that would come out of nowhere that I never dealt with in my life before at all. So after that, I move out, and there was no real damage to the crib besides the mold damage from the wall curing from the flooding over and over and over again. So after we move out, 2 months after we move out, we hit the landlord back up, coming back up, like, yo, can you get our deposit back? Can you get our deposit back? And mind you, they never fixed nothing in there. The only thing they repaired in there since we've been there is because the kids' room, floor was flooding bad in their room, as well as the front room and the door, all that was flooding bad. So they had to get the carpet ripped up. The carpet was just solid concrete ground. So the only thing they did was replace that floor with vinyl floor. So cool. So we move out, and after all that's done, there's nothing but damage from all the drywall flooding and damage from all the toolboard kickers and damage from mold being around and stuff. We move out 2 months later. I go back in the apartment. It's mold everywhere from the walls to the kitchen cabinet to the bedroom. Like, the mold just spread it through the apartment. Now, it wasn't that bad that you see it everywhere, but you can see little parts of mold growing on little parts of the wall. So I see it's that bad, right? So we go to the landlord to get our money back, the deposit back, and they say we can't get the deposit back because the apartment's such in bad condition. The apartment, now I'm trying to figure out how the apartment's in bad condition because it was left the way it was. Not because we did anything, because the landlord was reluctant to do any repairs or any fixes, anything. Just left the way it was.
All right, Khalifa, I got it.
The question, now, Khalifa, did you take any pictures?
Yes, I took pictures.
Okay. Secondly, the landlord has, after you move out, 30 days to give you a list of the problems he claims you caused that he's deducting from your security deposit. If the landlord does not provide you with that notice within 30 days to your new address, you have a claim against the landlord for all of your money back, treble. Three times your damage.
Three times in Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
Wow. Way to go, PA.
So, you know, there are consumer protection laws. There are landlord-tenant laws. And I thought you said that you were out 60 days and he had not told you.
No, we're out 2 months.
2 months.
It's been like 2.5 months now.
And did you ever get a list from the landlord of the damages, item by item?
No.
Okay.
No, He sent pictures and saying, okay, well, like I said, the microwave was never replaced. It was a new one, got in there. He sent pictures of the microwave. So, the microwave, look at how the microwave is. Now, microwave stopped working since we was there and since we moved out. It stopped working. So I'm trying to figure out, the microwave wasn't brand new. So how do we respond to a microwave that wasn't brand new? It was more than 3 years old when we moved in there, and it was rusted and nasty. I had to clean up myself. How am I responsible? How am I responsible for a cabinet you never replaced, and you're trying to tell me, well, it's not here. I was like, you never replaced it. We got pictures and videos. We got text messages asking you to replace the stuff. You never replaced it. And now you're like, all right, well, there's a hole in the wall. The only holes in the wall is like a little dot pinhole the size of a quarter that a kid made. But you got to pull out. But below that, to the left of it, like 3 feet to the left of it, it's literally a big spot of wall missing because the flood took out the drywall. And now there's no toe clear baseboard there. And all that's going down the dirt pouring onto the floor. So you're talking about a little dot on the wall. But walls, you got to pull down off the wall anyway because of the flood. The whole house been flooded.
So, Dean, when they actually do within 30 days and say they're supposed to put in how much it costs to repair it,
yes.
Correct? Why they're keeping the security deposit. So
if they haven't provided you with that notice appropriately, that by itself is grounds to get your money back. Let's say they did provide photographic evidence, and so technically the court may say, okay, you got notice. You can still go to court and demand your money back with your arguments that you've made, that the damages weren't caused by you, but they were caused by the landlord's negligence in his failure to maintain the property. There's an argument to be made. Go down, file your paperwork. I don't know. How much is your security deposit?
It was like 725.
Right. That's not a case you're going to hire a lawyer for because it would cost $700 to get out of bed in the morning and go down to the courthouse, and you wouldn't get anything out of it. So you're not working for the lawyer. You want to work for yourself. You go down to the landlord-tenant court, and you file. You know, the clerks will be happy to help you. All you need to know is the name of your landlord and his address, and maybe bring a copy of your lease down there. With those documents, you can make your claim for the $725 and put in there that you're entitled to additional damages. Let the court help you with that when the time comes. But that will bring the landlord into landlord-tenant court. He may not want to go down there either. Mm-hmm. He may give you your money back just to avoid having to go down there and spend a day in court. But, you know, in that case, you need to take the bull by the horns, and you need to file this down in landlord-tenant court.
Especially if the judgment results in triple the damages.
And if the landlord doesn't have the proper documentation to have rented the apartment in the first place, he's going to look bad, too. I mean, he's got to have a renter's license in order to even have rented this place out. He doesn't sound like the kind of guy who's following the rules.
Yeah.
Right, and that's a fact. But the crazy part is the flood was happening before we moved there, and then we moved us in there during...
Well, what you should have done, I mean, I didn't want to jump in on you, but what you should have done from the beginning is stop paying your rent. If water's pouring out of a wall and the landlord's not handling it, I'm not paying him.
Right.
I'm taking that money, putting it into an escrow account and telling him, no way, you're not getting another nickel. I'll start paying you when you bring this place up to the proper standards. Mm-hmm. But you didn't do that. You kept paying him, I presume.
And he kept doing... resolving the issue himself.
Yes.
Instead of requiring
you're jumping
the
in and
to do
doing the work for him. And, you know, so you were a great tenant for a bad landlord.
Right.
Right. And actually, the crazy part is I did work for him. I actually worked for him, too. So the crazy part is yes, it definitely was negligent. But the fact is it was a hazard house to move somebody into anyway. And there's record of me getting sick, my girlfriend getting sick. And
yeah, well, that
all of that.
All of that means something, but it means something only if you didn't pay them. All right, we got to run, Khalif. We're all up against our break. Thanks for calling us, sir. Have a great Saturday. Folks, we'll be back in 2 minutes. If you've got a question, give us a call, 215-227-2727. It happens every day here in Philly. You're walking your dog or headed to work, and in a split second, you're on the ground in pain because of someone else's carelessness. I'm Dean Weitzman. For over 35 years, My Philly Lawyer has been fighting for people just like you. You can't work. Medical bills are piling up, and you need cash to take care of your family. Slip and fall, we've got you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. Accidents happen. It's that simple, right? I'm Dean Weitzman. Every day someone in Philly takes a fall because someone else didn't do their job right. That's where My Philly Lawyer steps in. You need physical therapy? Check. Need someone to take on the insurance company? Check. You need cash? Check and check. We've been winning for over 35 years. Slip and fall? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. I'm Dean Weitzman. If you have a history of using chemical hair straighteners and have been diagnosed with uterine or endometrial cancer, call My Philly Lawyer now at 215-227-2727. Frequent use of chemical hair relaxers can double the risk of uterine and endometrial cancer. If you've been affected, we will fight for you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. You're cruising down the boulevard listening to your tunes, and bam, some idiot runs a light, messing up you and your car. I'm Dean Weitzman. Bad drivers causing accidents are a fact of life in Philly. Another fact, with over 35 years fighting for people like you, My Philly Lawyer knows how to get you the help you need and make insurance companies pay. Victim of a car accident? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
More legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Okay. We're back live and in the studio, joined by the team, Manny Manuel, Eric Tactics,
yep,
and Sarah O.
Mm-hmm.
We're all here. We got a caller. Let's get her on the line. Line five, Eric. Bonnie, welcome to Court Radio.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hi. What's happening, Bonnie? What happened to you? Tell us. We got a few minutes left. We're going to tackle your problem.
I was just listening to the other car. He was just going on and on and on and on.
Yeah.
But anyway, all right. So I was walking out of a store at on Goodwill. It's at Red Lion and Buxton Avenue. And I was just walking to my car to the park to the car, and somebody hit me. And she hit me, and she ran over my. I fell to the ground. And she ran over my leg.
Ouch.
She ran over my left leg.
Ouch.
I would have been good if she just hit me, though, and I just fell. But she ran over the leg.
What happened?
I had to get surgery.
Uh-huh. But what happened to that claim? What happened to the claim?
All right, so the claim. All right, so I already got a lawyer, and he said I only can go with the policy limits. And she had $25.50. So
okay.
That's the only thing I could sue for is the $25,000. Now, he was going to go, we were going to do my insurance too, but I took my insurance off my car. I was using my boyfriend's car at the time. And I only was a second driver to my boyfriend's car, and I took my insurance off my car because I need a transmission. So we could have done both or something, he said.
Well, is she on the boyfriend's policy? Yeah.
No.
No.
Yeah, no. She's
I'm
not.
Only as a second driver, and
second
that's
driver.
About it.
You might be a insured on your boyfriend's policy.
They already tried that. They already tried that, and it said, and they looked it up. I have to be married. I mean, we're still in the same household, but we have to be legally married.
Well, I'd have to see how the policy was written. If you're a permissive user. Or an additional insured. I would have presumed they've looked into that. But here's the bottom line, Bonnie. Being involved in a motor vehicle accident is like buying a lottery ticket, okay? Most of the time, you're going to get nothing or very little, right? You're going to scratch that ticket off maybe, and you're going to have $2 or $25 or $50. And very rarely, but it happens, you get that ticket and you win $1 million. That's what being involved in an accident is like, because you never know who's going to hit you. You got hit by somebody who has a $25,000 policy, and that's all they have, $25,000 maximum per person, $50,000 maximum per accident if there's more than one person involved in the accident. But if there's only a single person, the first limit is the limit, $25,000. If they've agreed to pay you the $25,000, there's nothing more you're going to get from her insurance company. That's what she purchased. She purchased a $25,000 policy, and that insurance company is within their rights to offer you the $25,000 and no more. Can you bring a claim against the woman who hit you? You can. Will you collect anything? No. It's so easy for folks to avoid having to pay a judgment. And, you'll get a judgment. You'll get a piece of paper that says she owes you $100,000 or $1 million, but you'll never be able to collect that. You'll spend a lot of money to get that piece of paper, and that's money that you could have for your pocket from the original $25,000. So it makes no sense pursuing a claim against her individually. The second part of that is, when you're living with your boyfriend, you want to make sure that you're a co-insured under his policy, that you're listed on the policy as an additional insured, and then you would be able to go to the underinsured motorist portion of his policy. Folks, don't think about these things until it's too late. But get your insurance in order. By the way, we're having a live show in 2 weeks on the 29th of June, and I invited everybody who's coming to the live show to bring their policy. I will put eyes on your policy to make sure these insurance companies aren't ripping you off and selling you something that you're not going to be able to use down the pike, God forbid, should you need it. Bonnie, thanks for calling us and being our last caller today. Have a great Saturday. If you need me in the future, 215-227-2727. Folks, I'll see you next Saturday, same time, same place.